Elder Conrado came to us first as a visit to have lunch with Brother Breva and I. Brother Breva told me that there's a man that's embracing our doctrine, is getting further and further from the people he was identified with, and he saw and embraced sovereign spirit regeneration. Now, that's a theological term, and what it means is that you're quickened, are born again by the direct operation of God without the aid of the gospel, without the aid of acceptance, soul winners, preachers, sovereignly quickened by God alone. Well, he went back home and preached it, and he got further and further away. He said, "Would you come preach for me? Enjoy the wonderful season." And it wasn't long from that time when I received a telephone call, "Would you come baptize me and my congregation of 65 people?" And we went north of the mill, found a beautiful stream, and there we baptized his whole congregation. Now, one of the joys is we're doing this now almost every month in different parts of the Philippines. We rejoice in the blessings of God. Brother Conrado, come and preach for us.
Thank you, sir. Good evening to all of you. So before I joined in the Primitive Baptist, I experienced for the first time in my life the bloody experience. So before, I was in the Landmark group, Landmarkism. Are you familiar with Landmark? So when it comes in the doctrine, total depravity, the same belief with the Landmark. Unconditional election, the same to the Landmark. Limited atonement is the same belief to the Landmark. But sad to say, when it comes in the irresistible effectual calling, there is a great difference. I am one of the pillar of the Landmark there in the Philippines. My family and my church was supported financially by the Landmark group here in America. But sad to say, I was thinking that the Landmark holds the doctrine of spirit regeneration. I teach that already in my congregation before. But sad to say, this Landmark group I found out that their belief about irresistible grace is far different from the belief of what the Bible teaches. When I invited Brother Gus Harper in my church, in the Lord's church there, to preach about spirit regeneration, he was firm and he did not, apologize when he preached the truth. And I said, "Amen. Brother, amen. This is it." But one of my missionaries was present during that time. I told him, "Don't tell this that I invited Primitive Baptists in my pulpit to the Landmarkers, or else they will gossip me." "Okay, Pastor, okay." But sad to say, the gossip was, spread throughout the Metro Manila area, even in Davao. They said, "Brother Conrado Quinto is a Primitive Baptist." I told them I was not a Primitive Baptist. I am Landmark Baptist. So before that, I said to my congregation after Brother Gus was preached during that time, I told to Brother Gus last night, I don't know if he remembered that. "Brother Gus, I don't know if you are a blessing to my church or a curse. This is my tribulation." So, that time, we are afflicted every side. When we receive the word with much affliction and with the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That time, the missionary is always coming to my church, Brother Conrado. That doctrine that you hold is a primitive Baptist doctrine. No, that is Bible doctrine. If you continue teaching that doctrine, we will disfellowship you and we will cut your support. The time I'm struggling, and me and my wife still continuously praying to the Lord, Lord, help us, please. Help us. This is truth. What shall I do? And I found myself in every Bible study, house to house, teaching this doctrine. I don't know why. My members were shocked. This is the issue, Pastor. Why you teach many times? I don't know. But this is an irresistible doctrine. That time in my heart, I'm not resisting. So, the time when the missionary come again to my church, me and my wife has a traumatic experience. He comes again. He will talk about his spirit regeneration. So, the time, Brother Conrado, if you will not stop that, we will disfellowship you. But I do not stop teaching this to my people. He come again to my house, spend a night there, and keep convincing. He convinced me about, no, the Holy Spirit quickens. Yeah, I believe that. Then I must believe that. But with the word, with the preached word. No, sir. It is His power alone, direct, immediate weakening. No instrument, no means. No, this is an error. This is heretic. No, sir. So many times, me and my wife, we cry every day. So, the judgment, you know, has come in my church. One Sunday, he come to my church, and then he sit down and listen to what I preach. And he said, after service, Brother Conrado, can I talk to you? If you will denounce this morning that belief, we will continue to support you. I will go back again to the United States, and I will tell the brethren there that you recant this doctrine. Sir, give me a verse. Okay, open your Bible in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, sir, I believe that. But it's not the power of God unto regeneration. He was shocked. Your belief is like a primitive. You're a primitive. No, sir, I have a landmark. No, I will declare now this fellowship to your church and to you. The time they will cut my support and also fellowship from the brethren there in the Philippines. The time we are suffered with much affliction. The minister there is, you know, keep proselyting my members through phone. Oh, there is no glory. Oh, that is Ichabod Church. Don't go. Don't worship there. Come, join with us. So they keep on proselyting. The time we are tossed and fro. We don't know where to go. And that time, my congregation said, Pastor, see, if this doctrine is a primitive doctrine, why don't we go to the primitive, to our brethren?
Yeah.
That time I... Why not? That night it was 12 o'clock in the evening. Midnight, I'm sorry. That time I talked to my wife, we will now join in the primitive. I will call Brother Manny. Since that time, Brother Harper, I don't know if he is in, here in America. Brother Manny, please talk to Brother Gus that we are willing to be rebaptized. Why? Because the landmark, they preach another spirit, which is weak and a powerful spirit. So that is my short experience before I joined in the Primitive Baptist. I think I will not preach tonight. My time is consumed. It's already 15 minutes. Okay, I would like to share to you the time, my struggle about spirit regeneration. So, although I'm not promised to finish my discourse this evening, but I would like to share something to you. Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in sin in trespasses." And you hath he quickened. Take note the word "and you." We know that dead is a strong word, but it is not my own coining and invention, nor I did not choose it. The Holy Ghost taught St. Paul to write it down about the Ephesians, said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in sin and trespasses." Many times the Lord used it to the prodigal son, to the First Timothy. So, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So the spiritual dead person, you cannot say to the spiritual dead person, "Do this and you shall live." He is a dead man. He is a corpse. Now, what is the meaning of dead spiritually? I say this is just the condition of every man. This is the condition of every man. By nature, he is dead. I say this just to state of the vast majority of people around us, they are spiritually dead. We need to go, as Brother Lopez said in his sermon, in his discourse. Yes, my brethren, when a man's heart is cold and unconcerned, when his hands are never employed in doing God's work, when his feet are not familiar in God's way, when his tongue is never used in prayer and in praise, when his ears are deaf to the voice of Christ, when his eyes are blind to the beauty of the kingdom of heaven, when his mind is full of the word and has no room of spiritual things, brethren, when these marks are found in a man, the word of the Bible is the right word to use about him, and the word is dead.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
We may not like this perhaps, but God's truth must be spoken. And to keep it back does positive harm. Truth must be spoken, however condemning it may be. So long as a man does not serve God with his body, so long as a man does not serve God in his soul, in his mind, he is not really alive. So long as he buries
buries his talent. So long as he put the first thing last and the last first and bring the Lord no revenues of honor, so long in God's sight, he is dead. He is not filling the place in creation for he was intended. He is not using his power. He is not using his faculties as God meant them to be. This is the true explanation of sin not felt, sermon not believed, good advice of the pastor not followed. The gospel is not embraced, the word not forsaken, the cross not taken up, self-will not mortified, evil habit not laid aside, the Bible seldom read, the knee never bent in prayer. Why is all this on every side? The answer is very simple. Men are dead. This is the true account of many hosts of excuses in our times, which so many make with one consent. Some have no learning. Some have no time. Some have no, some are oppressed with business, with their job. Some are the care of money. Some have difficulties in their own families. Some with poverty. Some in their own health. Some have peculiar obstacle in their calling, which other we are told we cannot understand. But God has a shorter word in the Bible which describe all these people at once. He say they are dead. Why? If spiritual life began in these people's heart, their excuses would soon vanish away. My beloved brethren, this is the true explanation of many things which wring a faithful minister's heart. Many around him never attend a place of worship at all. Many attend so irregularly that it is clear they think it is of no importance. Many attend once on Sunday, who might attend just as easily attend twice. In the Philippines, our worship service there is twice every Sunday and every Wednesday. Many never appear at a weekday means of grace. The question is, why is all this? There can be only one reply about these people. They are dead. They are dead. We fear lest any of our members tonight, our families, should die in their sin, unprepared, unchanged, and also impenitent. Now, let me tell you this. Like the question of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, how can a man be born again? How can a man be saved? The Bible tells us he must be quickened and made spiritually alive. So life, we know, is the mightiest of all possession. From death to life is the mightiest of all changes. And no change short of this will ever avail to feed our souls or man's soul from heaven. My beloved brethren, it is not a little mending. Yes, my beloved brethren, it is not a little cleansing. It is not a little purifying. It is not a little painting. It is not a little patching. It is not a little whitewashing. It is not a little vanishing. But it is the bringing in of something altogether new. The planting within us of a new nature. The planting within us of a new being. The planting within us of a new principle and mind. This alone and nothing less than this will ever meet the necessities of man's soul. We need not merely a new skin, but a new heart. All these are mighty changes. He needs a change as great as resurrection from the dead. He must become new creature. He must be born again, born from the above. As his dearest relation, or as his nearest relation and friends, and they would bear witness to it, whether they like it or not, they would oblige to confess he is no longer the same if he is born again. Oh, my beloved brethren, you have passed from death to life. You have no reason indeed to be thankful to God. Remember what you once were by nature. You are dead. And who has you made to differ? My beloved brethren, go and fall low before the footstool of your God. Bless him for his grace, his free distinguishing grace. Say to him, "Who am I, Lord, that thou hast brought me hitherto? Lord, why me? Why hast thou been merciful unto me? Why, Lord?" Me and my wife that night, walking, going to our home, weeping and crying in the street, that time because of this doctrine. Lord, my wife said, "Lord, is this the price of our service? Lord, is this the price? All my friends left me." My beloved brethren, the word of God, we receive the word, the doctrine, with much affliction and by the comfort of the Holy Ghost. One thing is very clear in this text of Ephesians chapter 2. We cannot work this mighty change. No one can work it. Even the preacher, even the word of God, no man can do it. Minister may preach to us and pray with us, but they cannot bestow a spiritual life. But they cannot go below to the surface. They cannot reach our hearts. Quickening is the direct operation of the Spirit without the use of any means. It is direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the human spirit. It is the action of the Spirit upon spirit of a divine person upon human person, whereby spiritual life is imparted. Nothing therefore of the nature or of means or instrument can come between the Holy Spirit and the soul that is made alive. Pastor, who then can make a dead soul alive? No one can do it but God. No one can do it but God. God did not employ an instrument or means when he infused even physical life into the body of Adam. No, sir. He has no means. He has no instrument. I believe instrument is adapted so to the things that you use. For example, to the tree, you cannot use the paper to cut the tree. It is impossible. Like a dead soul, you cannot quicken the dead soul. Even the word is not instrument for the quickening of the soul. The Bible tells us the natural man receiveth not the things of God. It is foolishness to him. My beloved brethren, God is the one who will quicken alone. My question tonight is this.
My beloved brethren, are you quickened? Are you quickened? If you will say, yes, Pastor, then see that you prove it by your growth. Let the great change within become every year more evident. Let your life be an increasing light, not like Joshua's son in the valley of Ajalom, standing still, not like Hezekiah's son going back. Let our motto be, we must be forward, forward to your very last day. Don't be like Lot tonight, lingerers. Don't be like Gad, Reuben, Manasseh, borderers. Don't be like Jews in Ezra's time, mixed up with strangers, that our spiritual pedigree cannot be made out. Let us be up and doing. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. My beloved brethren, tonight, the children, take note of this, the children of this world are looking round to see what the elect are doing. God, in His wonderful providences, is calling us, who is on my side? Surely we ought to be like Abraham, very ready with answer, here am I, Lord, here am I. May the Lord grant us to stand the truth of the Bible. The Bible tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. May the Lord bless you.